Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Have you been watching the nightly updates on COVID-19's impact in Chicago and the world? WGN-TV News special report every night, every weeknight at 10:30. COVID-19 pandemic. Got all the daily updates throughout the day, breaking news throughout the day, both here on WGN Radio and, of course, on WGN-TV on our WGN-TV morning news. Same thing. You want to start the day. That is what's going on. We are trying to learn as much as we can about the virus. Of course, everyone is trying to learn about vaccines and what is the latest and what's effective and what's not. Not a lot of attention has been placed on building your own immunity as strongly as possible. You've heard how the virus can affect people who are immune deficient. How do you maximize your own immunity? For that, we go to Dr. Michael Roizen, who is Chief Wellness Officer Emeritus at the Cleveland Clinic and part of Persona's Medical Advisory Board. Dr. Roizen, thank you for joining us.
It's a privilege. Thank you for doing what you're doing.
Well, it's, you know, we all have to help each other at this time. You know, that's the main thing. But before we talk, you know, get fully into a conversation about immunity, I'm just wondering, you know, how you as a healthcare professional for years at the one of the most respected institutions in the world, the Cleveland Clinic, viewing what we're going through right now, what's happening right now, how you would rate, you know, what how we're dealing with this.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm proud of the Cleveland Clinic as I'm in the same building as the supply chain is. And so the supply chain started working overtime, believe it or not, in February 7th. And so we personally, that is the Ohio and our governor, have done a very good job, as your governor has now done. And he was one of the leaders, obviously, in this. As a nation, we wasted the 8 weeks in not gearing up manufacturing of protective equipment and ICU, if you will, materials. But other than that, and we now seem to have that with the FEMA director taking charge, Peter Gaynor, doing a very good job in trying to get supplies where they're needed and where the hot spots are. So that we can have protective gear. That standpoint, we have not, in France and in China, have been early reports about immune convalescent serum. That is, people who have had it and harvesting the serum of those people, purifying it and giving it back as a way of decreasing the seriousness of the problem of people who've had it. And that seems to be one of the approaches the FDA is now fast tracking. The other is the drugs that were shown in a French study to radically, that is really quickly, decrease virus load. Those are the anti-malarial drug hydroxychloroquine when combined with azithromycin, a commonly used antibiotic in America. Both of those are generic and inexpensive, and because of their use in malaria are right now plentiful, so we have some hope that those things will help. So if you want to grade it, we kind of have a B minus C plus, if you will, because of the delay. But now it looks like we're that was the quarterfinal test, and the midterm looks like we're getting an A on it.
Yeah. In your career, doctor, have you ever seen anything like this? Have you ever seen any medical emergency like this ever?
No. We had, when HIV was starting, I was in San Francisco, and the difference was that was very, it's not easily transmissible. That is, if you look at it, if 250 people come in contact body fluids with that, you only get one infection. In this, it is three per person or more. So this is much more infective, and consequently, a much more likely to spread to everyone. So I don't think since 1918, since the flu of 1918, there's been nothing like this.
Talking with Dr. Michael Roizen, Chief Wellness Officer Emeritus at Cleveland Clinic and Chairman of Persona's Medical Advisory Board. Dr. Roizen, explain what Persona is, first of all, so everybody knows.
So Persona is a company that's goal is to find out what to do to help you get optimal nutrition. And so one of the things it does is there's a free assessment at mypersona.com, which then assesses your nutrition and say, for example, you're missing enough vitamin D in your diet, or you're not getting enough vitamin C, or whatever it is that you're missing, or magnesium. And then it provides you a way of ordering those, if you want to, in morning and afternoon or morning and evening packs. So it takes, if you're getting five things, it puts five things in a morning pack and five things in an evening pack.
Right.
So that it makes it very easy to take. The Scientific Advisory Board's job is to make sure that the assessment and the recommendations are scientifically based. So one of the things that does increase your immune system, based on the fact that if you get enough sleep and a multivitamin morning and evening, that actually has been shown in studies of immunizations of the normal flu vaccination to those two things to substantially and importantly increase the success rate against the common flu. And we presume that's because it upgrades and does upgrade your own immune system
right.
to be able to fight invaders better. So we have a defense force in our bodies, much like the Army and Navy and police force. It's got multiple layers. So our skin is the first one, and then we have cilia in our nose and lung tubes that act like brooms to clear out stuff that gets in. Those are impeded by pollution. They're impeded by smoking, vaping, smoking anything. So you want not to do that at this time. The next thing is when something does get in and starts to invade, we have a system that is a toll receptor. It's not called toll because it collects a toll on you. It's called toll because it was discovered in Germany, and toll, I've been told, means large. So this is a large system that sends out a warning to both your antibody-producing cells and your hand-to-hand combat cells that kill organisms. So you send those antibody cells and say, this is a foreign substance, let's make antibodies to it. And your hand-to-hand, what we call T-killer cells, come to the surface and try and knock out the invading cell that's been invaded by the virus, so the virus can't replicate.
Yeah, I guess that was
a series of processes that go on in your body.
Yeah, I guess, you know, that somewhat explains, you know, the question that I was going to have is, how is a strong natural immunity system going to fight COVID-19?
So if the stronger your immune system, the less likely it is to take hold and cause inflammation in you. that is when it starts to bind to your cells in your lung, or and there's now a thought that it also can come in through your gastrointestinal tract, your intestinal tract. Paul Offit, who's a substantial researcher at the University of Pennsylvania, in looking at the data from China and Korea, says a lot of this looks like it's causing a infection through the GI tract with diarrhea and other symptoms. So whether it comes in there or through the lung, if you can knock it out, if your immune system can attack it before it gets to a place of causing inflammation, you're going to decrease a lot of the side effects. That is a lot of the consequences. So the main consequences are, in younger people, it's causing a interstitial lung disease, a lung disease that is involved with tissues of the lung. That means you can't breathe well. That's why the ventilators are so important. In older people, the inflammation from that, just like from the flu, causes us to have inflammation in arteries. So if you've got heart disease or diabetes or things that are associated with plaque in your arteries, it will break off those plaques and cause a heart attack or stroke or memory loss or initially arrhythmias, which is why some of the older people die quickly, because that plaque breaking off from the inflammation.
Talked about
it's one of the reasons we encourage you to get a flu shot every year, because right. If you're 50 and you get a flu shot every year for 10 years, you decrease your risk of a heart attack by 50%, believe it or not.
Oh, wow.
Compared to those who don't, and decrease hospitalization deaths by 25%, because you've decreased the chance of that huge inflammatory response.
Yeah.
It breaks off plaques.
I had no idea that it was that high. So you talked about senior citizens being immune deficient. Who else might be termed as immune deficient?
So that's right. As we get older, our immune system works less well. We don't know why that is. But again, the things that you can do, sleep, proper nutrition, which means less food with sugar, less food with added syrups, less simple carbohydrates, because sugar seems to help the virus multiply, and also less processed meats and less red meat, if you will. Those are all things that add to inflammation. And at this time, you also don't want to have sushi or other things you'll have to fight parasites. So, if you will, or other viruses at this time. So you sleep, proper nutrition, getting that multivitamin, a little bit of exercise, your normal exercise, plus maybe a little more, but not marathon running, not excessive increasing, because that runs down, that turns off the immune system. And the next one is stress management. Those are the big four things that have been shown to make our immune systems function to a better degree.
Some people are texting in questions asking 773 area code. Ask the doctor about benefits of Brazil nuts. Have you heard anything about that?
I have not, but all nuts are healthy. Brazil nuts have some of the substances in them, that is the components of Brazil nuts, and they have more than other nuts of a few of the specific things that decrease some infections and some cancers. So Brazil nuts, but all nuts are healthier than virtually anything else, so nuts are a good choice at this time. Not so much as you gain weight, and that's where that exercise and eating appropriately. But I don't know of anything on Brazil nuts and the COVID-19 specifically. I've not actually seen that.
Yeah, maybe you know, just the idea of eating nut, you know, including nuts. If you're going to be snacking on something, better nut, some kind of nut than potato chips or, you know,
absolutely
something like that. Right now, you know, it's kind of interesting because in these extremely stressful times, people are turning to comfort foods and things that, you know, kind of make them feel good, which are not necessarily the most healthy, you know, foods, not necessarily low fat, low sodium, the kinds of things that people should be looking out for all the time anyway. And, you know, what you're saying is that maybe the most important time to eat healthy right now.
That's exactly right. I mean, in other words, you want to eat only foods that love you back. So food is a relationship. And you wouldn't eat French fries as a marriage partner, if you will, because they're trying to kill you every day. So food is a relationship. So you only want to have foods that love your body back. So avocados and nuts. These are in the whole grain foods, beans, anything you like that actually loves your body back is the way we say of eating. And you're exactly right. You want to eat. You want to keep your body's immune system as good as possible at this time, and nutrition is a real important component of it.
Yeah, which can be challenging depending on what kind of foods are available in the stores right now. I mean, grocery stores are shelves are empty of more than just toilet paper and hand sanitizer. I mean, it's tough to find, you know, low fat meats. It's tough to find some of those things right now. But you gotta be diligent and looking.
Right, the more plant-based and frozen veggies are just great because they're usually fresh frozen at the source, so they have almost all the nutrients still in them, much better than actually older vegetables that we sometimes get. So frozen vegetables, great choice. Even canned beans, tomatoes, corn, all those things, broccoli, whatever you like. In the vegetable line, really learn to. And in fact, this is a great time to learn to cook. I have a conflict here because I wrote a book, What to Eat When, and the What to Eat When cookbook, which goes through how to cook veggies in a way that is healthy. But this is a great time to learn to cook with spices and seasoning. So the spice and seasoning racks haven't been bought out usually in the stores when I looked. Friday. And so those are great times to experiment with different seasonings and see if you like it. One of my favorite is frozen, if you will, artichokes. You can get them, thaw them, cut them in 2-inch slices, put a little rosemary, put them on a baking sheet or a cookie sheet for 275 degrees till they are a little crisp, turn them over. They taste just like French fries, only they're much, much healthier.
Oh, wow.
And so you'll experiment with spices with that. I like rosemary. Some people like garlic with it. But you can do it with almost any vegetable like that.
847 area code is asking, what about taking daily zinc and vitamin C supplements right now?
So zinc and vitamin C, chicken soup, and elderberry all decrease the common cold's duration. They have not been shown, and they've been tested, to do anything for the flu. That is, they work very well for common colds. And so if you want to prevent that, but the key is to take it when you start to get the cold, not all along, because zinc and elderberry especially have toxicity when you get to too high a dose, that is from chronically taking it every day as a preventive. So you want to take increased vitamin C up to 1,000 milligrams at maybe 2 or 3 times a day, or the zinc lozenges, or chicken soup, or elderberry when you get the symptoms of the common cold, that is runny nose, stuffed nose, that type of symptoms. They don't, in the randomized studies, they have not been shown to shorten the duration or the severity of any of the flu viruses. It's not been, to my knowledge, it hasn't been tested against the coronavirus, and I wouldn't expect it to have a benefit against that.
Several people on our text line asking What are the symptoms of COVID-19? How should people know if they should be concerned?
So one of the real problems is you can have it for the average incubation time is 5 days, and you can be giving it to others during that time. That's why social distancing when you're asymptomatic and washing, et cetera, is so important. We say it's 3 times, in other words, 50% will transmit it in 5 days, but it's 90% and 98% in 15 days. So it could be 15 days. That's why the 14-day quarantine rule is there. The first symptom usually people get is they get a sore throat or they start having a dry cough or in this study of Japan, Korea, and China, they can get GI symptoms, that is upset stomach and diarrhea. So those are the first symptoms. The lung, the shortness of breath, is much later, and it looks like it involves the coronavirus invading much more of your lung tissue and multiplying. So the productive cough and the shortness of breath, much later symptoms. Fever is usually, in other words, it goes sore throat, productive, a non-productive cough, dry cough or diarrhea or both, and then fever. And it's after that fever starts that the shortness of breath starts.
And kind of a follow-up from the 847, if someone gets the virus, are they then immune or can you get it over and over again?
We think based on the Chinese data, that's all we have really that has looked at this, is that you're immune for a period of time. And usually with coronaviruses, this is the sixth of the coronaviruses that have affected humans that have come from animals, that all the other coronaviruses, you're immune for a period of time, 1 to 2 years. So this will end up, if we develop a vaccine to it, and there's 16 companies in human trials with vaccines now, which is a huge, if you will, push, obviously. But assuming we get a vaccine, it'll probably be in the yearly flu vaccine as soon as possible. So at least for a year, it looks like you have immunity to the virus.
This is something that I was curious about. How likely am I to get the virus on my clothing, on merchandise that I pick up off the grocery store shelf, off of packages which are delivered to me from carryout food bags? I went to get a cup of coffee at a store this morning, and the clerk behind the counter takes the coffee without a glove on, with any protection, takes the lid of the coffee cup, puts it on my coffee cup, and slams it down with her bare hand and hands it to me. You know, I drive away, I pull over and sanitize now the top of my coffee cup can, my coffee cup, because I've seen what she's done. But how concerned should we be with infection on non-human things?
Yeah, so the data on cardboard and paper is about 24 hours the virus can live. On plastic and steel surfaces, it looks like it can live up to 72 hours. So that sanitation is important. That's one of the reasons we are now telling people we love restaurants and love takeout, but the only way you're going to be sure is if you get it, wash it yourself and reheat it or cook it yourself. So reheating, if you get food from takeout, if the data from Korea, Japan, and China on the GI symptoms is right, you should reheat that to a full temperature of 165 degrees. Before you have it, if you've got takeout food, because it can live there as well. So you're sanitizing the top of the coffee thing? Perfect.
Yeah, the coffee lid didn't smell so great after I got done sanitizing. It smelled like aloe vera.
That's right. So
kind of took away from my coffee.
You're going to have to learn to make coffee at home.
Well, you know, I actually have been doing that, and I forgot this morning that I left. And I just said, I'll keep an eye on the clerk when it happens, and it happened. But you got to do what you got to do. What about clothing?
So it appears to live on clothing. Now this is there's controversy here. So the WHO put out a message early on that it lives on clothing and cloth for up to 72 hours. Other people have studied it and have found much less existence on clothing. The WHO actually said don't use paper money because most paper money is cloth and it'll live on it for 72 hours. We don't know how good that data are. So it's another thing decreasing, if you will, commerce, at least in Europe, where the WHO put out this warning. So the study in the New England Journal, I believe, showed that it was living 12 to or so hours on clothing.
It's very interesting.
That's why social distancing is so, so important.
Yeah. And you know, it's amazing to me how everybody's heard it. Everybody has seen it. Everybody knows that it's out there, yet people are completely ignoring it in many cases. And I don't just mean the knuckleheads that are on the beaches in Miami. I went to a grocery store this morning, before the store opened. I'm waiting outside the door for them to unlock the door. And maybe 20 other people begin to gather in front of the store. I'm keeping my distance, my 6 feet away from everybody, but everybody else is right next to each other. And how did
that's crazy.
I wanted to say something, but I didn't want to be the crazy guy in the crowd saying, "You people spread out a little bit."
Well, that's what we should be doing, I guess. That's correct. So you want to social distancing is really important at slowing it and decreasing it. I can tell you that Dr. Oz has I think is starting a study at Columbia to try and reproduce the French data, Columbia University in New York, the French data on hydroxychloroquine and azithromycin. And if we start to get data that those work to lessen the viral load as substantially as they did in the French study, it's only 30 patients, 30 people. But if it does that there, then if it is reproduced here, and it should be, we should have data from that and a large WHO study in Italian ICUs of 100 people randomly allocated to it. If those studies start to show benefit, then a lot will change over the next couple weeks, but for at least the next week, until the data comes out that we have something that works, people should really heed social distancing, because that way our hospitals will be able to handle the load, and there won't be any place near as many people dying as would otherwise die.
What about social distancing in households where people are in self-isolation together, families, kids, husbands?
You mean where they're, in other words, the
spouses?
Family unit.
Yeah.
I guess the family unit can stay together as long as they're isolated from everyone else. In other words, if you know everybody's movement and they're just amongst yourselves, then you're much safer.
Yeah, but the parents, for example, hugging their kids, kissing their kids, spouses.
As long as
hugging,
the parents
kissing.
As long as the parents haven't been infected, meaning it's clearly after 5 days of not developing fevers or symptoms, then a family unit is clearly able to stay as close to possible.
Dr. Michael Roizen, Chief Wellness Officer Emeritus at Cleveland Clinic, is on with us, and also Chairman of Persona's Medical Advisory Board, working to help you determine your personal immunity on their website, which we'll give you again in just a moment. But Dr. Roizen, if there are a few things that people can do naturally to boost their immunities, what would you say that those things are?
Well, the most important are getting appropriate sleep. That is, it's okay to binge watch something now or listen to radio or TV, but make sure you get regular sleep and the whole family gets regular sleep. And the other thing is a multivitamin. Half, break it in half, take half in the morning, half in the evening. And those two have been shown to substantially increase the success rate of immunization, which means the success rate of your immune system responding to a foreign substance. Get a little exercise. And by the way, you can, if you, as you said, I have the conflict of being on the chair of the scientific advisory board of mypersona.com, where you can take a free assessment and find out your nutrition status. You want to eat well and then do a little exercise. That is the same amount of exercise that you normally do, maybe increase it a little. You don't want to increase it a lot all at once, even though this is a great time to do that. You say, I got enough time to do it. No, because greatly increased exercise or marathons essentially impede your immune system. Marathon runners for 3 weeks after the marathon have a substantial increase in colds and flu. And then as I said, eating right and managing stress. This is the time to, I suppose, do all those things around the house you've wanted to do, but haven't had time to do, if you will.
Yeah, exactly. And give us the name of your book about eating. As well, because that sounds like that could be very helpful to people right now also.
It's What to Eat When. What to Eat When is on Amazon, and the What to Eat When cookbook, you can pre-order it at Amazon, maybe it'll ship them already. But the point, and you can get it via Kindle or one of the other electronic
right.
books as well.
What?
But one of the key is that... eating healthily, and there's actually is a chapter on how to strengthen your immune system. I mean, the book was out a couple of years, it was out about 9 months ago, so before this started. But there is a chapter because we all develop rogue cells inside us, and we need to get rid of them all the time. And so that's food and food choices, as well as the other things we mentioned, are key at getting rid of them.
What to Eat When. Wipe it down when you get it from Amazon. Dr. Michael Roizen, Chief Wellness Officer Emeritus at the world-famous Cleveland Clinic. Really appreciate you joining us. Great information. I hope you have a great day today. Thank you so much.
My privilege. You too.